Welcome to another episode of My Weird Prompts, an AI-generated podcast featuring the random prompts of Daniel Rosehill as answered by a revolving cast of friendly AI characters. Join us for deep dives into AI, technology, and whatever other random thing Daniel finds fascinating today. Subscribe on Spotify or your favorite podcatcher. Now, today's episode.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Hi there, Herman and Corin. So something I try to make sure that we do in this podcast or have is when I'm dropping in these prompts, I have to be, I'll be transparent about my objective for this podcast. It's an experiment above all. Firstly, it's something I'm really enjoying creating all these episodes, listening back to them. It's become actually, I wouldn't say the highlight of my day. I have some other things going on in my life. But it's become something I really enjoy in the same way that I look forward to watching my favorite show on TV. I kind of can't wait. I ask my prompts in the day and I love listening to you guys at nighttime. But it's also an experiment because I'm deliberately asking a very varied potpourri of topics, especially when I think of something that I'm like, well, maybe most normal people aren't probably thinking about those weirdly specific things. And my idea is that so long as it's affordable for me to keep producing this podcast, which thanks to the excellent technology of Modal, I think we finally found a provider that I can afford. It's fully on my own dime. I point out there are no sponsors, but any text-to-speech provider or serverless GPU provider who feels a connection to my mission of sharing it, using AI to create these engaging podcasts and share it with people is welcome to become our sponsor. Herman and Corin will record a very nice sponsor message. But for the moment, at this current pipeline that we're working with, I figured out after a huge amount, it has to be said, of trial and error and trying out different APIs and different TDS engines to make it viable. So the current pipeline, and this is what brings me to today's question, is I mentioned Modal. It's a great provider. And it's serverless GPU. So what that means is that this podcast that makes all the episodes, I record them on my phone, usually, send it into via webhook that hits the audio file, gets sent to the pipeline. And the pipeline is, I think there's like 10 different stages. It's quite complex. It gets sent to currently Gemini, which creates a script using search mode on. Which is important. That's how we get up-to-date info. There's actually a second pass. An AI agent looks at that script just as a proofreader. Once the script passes through that proofreading gate, it gets sent for text-to-speech using the voices, Herman and Corin, their voices. My prompt actually gets processed a bit, which is why sometimes I sound like I'm speaking very quickly. The silences actually get cut out. And then when the TTS returns all those little chunks, there is a audio concatenation script that puts my prompt, the intro message, the outro message, the text chunks, everything, runs it all, concatenates that, builds it all together into one finished episode, normalizes it. Then we get the cover art, the episode generation, and finally we push to Vercel, which is the deployment platform. That episode gets pushed onto the site with all the different elements, the finished audio file, the elements, and then it makes it into the XML feed, and that's how you can pick it up in Spotify. So that's why it's a complicated pipeline that took me a long time to do. And in the process of trying to find a way to make this affordable, as I mentioned, it was a lot of trial and error. My natural inclination was, well, let's just use API. So I'm a big fan of Chatterbox, which is what's doing the character voices here. And doing that through an API, I was getting costs of like maybe $6 per episode, which to me, if I want to make five or six of these a day, sometimes when I'm going through my kind of my word prompting binges, quickly makes it really, really expensive. Whereas if it's 50 cents an episode, fine. It's a very worthwhile use of money from my perspective. I learn a ton from listening to you guys. So the serverless GPU, I spent a lot of figuring out, well, how can I do this? I couldn't do it locally. Chatterbox is just too big. But I was able to I ended up discovering the world of serverless GPUs. So that's how this production process works. My prompt, as I mentioned, is sent via webhook, hits the pipeline. And the final step in my cost optimization strategy is when we're creating the episodes, I mentioned it works in chunking. So the script is divided between sentence boundaries and characters, and Herman's lines are matched to the Herman's voice, Corin's lines are matched to Corin's voice, and you can see in the logs it's getting developed as a script. That's the slow part, and there's two ways to speed it up. One is, and this is what I'm really asking you guys about. One is parallelization, so spawning 6 TTS workers. So instead of having to wait for one to be finished, we do 6 TTS things are running sequentially and then combining them. And the other one is to use a bigger and better GPU. So I've tried both approaches, and one of the only criticisms I have for Modal is that they don't make it that easy to see how much each job costs. So I've tried to guesstimate, and what I haven't been able to really figure out yet, and this is the question I'm asking you guys, is what is more cost effective? If I take the biggest GPU that I can pay for, but it's going to have the highest hourly cost and the most powerful hardware, but it's going to be the shortest generation time, versus taking a slower GPU or a less powerful GPU with less VRAM, dividing either just running it sequentially or using parallelization. And so far, I have to say, I'm really flying in the dark. As I mentioned, I've got to a point where it's affordable, but I don't know if it would make more sense to go in either direction. I've used both, and I'm not sure. So Herman and Corin, let's talk about cost optimization in the narrow but important context of serverless GPU functions, like the one I'm running. And just a final detail to just explain to anyone interested in the AI architecture here of what I'm talking about. The backend job each episode takes about, I'm going to say 15 or 16 minutes to generate. So it's very far from an instant process. It starts up the container. The script generation is actually the quickest part. The validation process, then the TTS thing takes a long time, and then normalization, and then finally pushing. So it's a complex pipeline, but each one is a fairly long-running process, but it does work reliably well, finally, after a huge amount of trial and error. So Herman and Corin, for those who are also creating these AI experiences and turning to serverless GPUs as opposed to dedicated instances or locally deployed for the actual inference, what would you recommend they try out to make sure that they can get the maximum bang for their serverless budget? Herman and Corin, let's talk about serverless GPU inference and making it affordable. Over to you guys.
Herman, I think our housemate Daniel is trying to either bankrupt us with his curiosity or save us a fortune. He sent over a prompt that gets right into the weeds of how this very show is put together.
Herman Poppleberry, at your service. And yeah, I saw that one come in. It is a classic engineering trade-off, isn't it? Daniel is basically asking the million-dollar question for anyone building in the AI space right now. When you are running these heavy workloads on serverless GPUs, do you go wide or do you go tall?
Right. And specifically for our listeners who might not be wrestling with serverless configurations every morning, we are talking about how to handle tasks like generating the audio for this podcast. Daniel mentioned he is using Modal, which is a great serverless platform, to run these text-to-speech functions. The dilemma is, do you spawn 10 small cheap workers to do 10 things at once, or do you pay for one absolute monster of a GPU to finish the whole job in a fraction of the time?
It is the Ferrari versus a fleet of scooters problem. Do you want one package delivered at 200 miles per hour, or 50 packages delivered at 30 miles per hour? And in the serverless world, where you are billed by the second, the math is not always as intuitive as it seems.
Well, let's break that math down, because I think that is where the bang for the buck really lives. Most people assume that if a GPU is 4 times as expensive per hour, it must be 4 times as fast to break even. But it is rarely a linear relationship, is it?
Exactly. Let's look at the hardware for a second. On platforms like Modal in early 2026, you usually have a choice between something like an NVIDIA L4 on the lower end, and then you jump up to the H100 or even the new Blackwell B200 on the high end. An L4 might cost you about 80 cents an hour, while a B200 with its massive memory is going to be significantly more closer to $6 an hour. But here's the thing most people don't realize. VRAM, or video random access memory, isn't just about capacity. It is about bandwidth.
Right. So it is not just how much data the GPU can hold, but how fast it can shove that data into the processing cores. If you are running a large language model or a complex text-to-speech engine, that bandwidth is often your primary bottleneck, not the raw compute power.
Spot on. If your model is constantly waiting for data to move from memory to the chip, you are paying for the GPU to sit idle for milliseconds at a time. On an H200, that bandwidth is massive, nearly 4.8 terabytes per second. On an older L4, you are looking at a fraction of that, maybe 300 gigabytes per second. So, even though the H200 costs more per second, it might finish the task 15 times faster because it is actually staying busy.
But wait, Herman. Daniel's question also brought up parallelization. If he spawns, say, 20 workers on cheaper L4s, they all start at the same time. In theory, the total wall clock time for the whole project drops significantly. Does the overhead of starting those 20 containers eat up the cost savings?
That is the cold start trap. In a serverless environment, when you tell the provider to spawn a worker, it has to find a machine, pull your container image, load your model into memory, and then start processing. Even with Modal's new GPU snapshotting, which has cut cold starts down to about 10 seconds, if your task only takes 2 seconds of actual compute, you just paid for 12 seconds of time for 2 seconds of work. If you do that 20 times in parallel, you are paying for 240 seconds of setup time.
Okay, so if the task itself is very short, parallelizing across many small workers is actually a massive waste of money because you are multiplying the cost of the cold starts.
Precisely. This is what we call the granularity of the task. If Daniel is processing this podcast script sentence by sentence, and each sentence takes 2 seconds to generate, he should absolutely not be spawning a new worker for every sentence. He would be spending 80% of his budget on the overhead of spinning up the environment.
That makes a lot of sense. So, there is a sweet spot where the task is long enough that the cold start becomes negligible, but short enough that you still benefit from parallelism. I am curious about the VRAM aspect too. Daniel mentioned more VRAM to shorten generation time. Does having extra VRAM help if the model already fits?
That is a common misconception. If your model needs 12 gigabytes of VRAM and you give it 16, it won't necessarily run faster than if you gave it 80, unless that 80 gigabyte card also has higher memory bandwidth or more CUDA cores. However, more VRAM allows for larger batch sizes. Instead of generating one voice line at a time, you could potentially generate 16 lines simultaneously on one big GPU like an H100.
So vertical scaling, where you use a bigger card, actually enables a different kind of internal parallelism through batching.
Exactly. And batching is almost always more cost-effective than spawning separate workers. When you batch, you only pay for one cold start, one model load, and one idle period. The GPU cores are designed to handle multiple operations at once. If you are only using 10% of a B200's capacity to generate one line, you are wasting 90% of what you are paying for. But if you can saturate that card with a large batch, your cost per generated second of audio drops through the floor.
So, for Daniel's specific use case with the podcast audio, the strategy should probably be grouping the lines into chunks, using a powerful enough GPU to handle those chunks in batches, and keeping the worker warm if possible.
Right. Modal has this great feature where you can set a container idle timeout or use request batching. If you know you are going to be sending more lines in the next few minutes, you keep the container alive. You pay for the idle time, yes, but you avoid the 10-second cold start on the next request. It is all about the ratio of compute time to overhead time.
I remember back in episode 317, we talked about the sunk cost trap. In computing, people often get stuck in the sunk overhead trap. They've already spent the time and money to get the model loaded, so they feel like they should just keep using that one worker, even if it's slow. But sometimes, switching to a more expensive, faster instance actually clears the queue so fast that the total bill is lower.
It is counterintuitive until you see the logs. I've seen cases where moving from an L4 to an H100, which is a much more powerful card, cut the execution time by 80% while only increasing the hourly rate by 4 times. That is a net win for the budget.
Let's talk about the bang for the buck benchmarks. If someone is listening and they are trying to optimize their own serverless bill, what is the first metric they should look at? Is it seconds per inference or dollars per inference?
It has to be dollars per inference. You take the hourly rate of the GPU, divide it by 3,600 to get the cost per second, and then multiply that by how many seconds the task took, including the setup time. Do that for a small GPU, a medium GPU, and a large GPU. You will often find a U-shaped curve.
A U-shaped curve? Explain that.
Well, on the very cheap GPUs, the cost per inference is high because the task takes forever. On the very expensive GPUs, the cost per inference might also be high because you aren't fully utilizing the massive power of the card. You're paying for empty seats in the stadium, so to speak. The bottom of that U-curve is your sweet spot. Usually, for something like text-to-speech or image generation in 2026, it is a mid-tier card like the L4 or a partitioned A100 if your provider allows for fractional GPUs.
That is a great analogy. You don't want to rent a whole stadium for a 10-person meeting, but you also don't want to hold a 1,000-person conference in a coffee shop where everyone has to wait in line for an hour to get a seat.
Exactly. And there is another factor we haven't touched on, data transfer. In serverless functions, you are often moving large model files from a storage bucket into the GPU's local memory. If you spawn 50 workers, you are potentially being billed for the time it takes to download those 50 copies of the model.
Oh, that is a huge point. If the model is 5 gigabytes and the network speed is limited, you could be spending more time watching a progress bar than actually generating audio.
And on some platforms, you pay for that network egress or ingress too. So, the fleet of scooters approach starts looking very expensive when every scooter has to stop at the gas station and fill up its own 5-gallon tank before it can start the delivery. One big truck with one big tank is more efficient for heavy loads.
So, to summarize the advice for Daniel and anyone in his shoes, if the total workload is large, you should aim for the most powerful GPU you can reasonably saturate with batching. Only use parallel workers if the tasks are truly independent, long-running, and you've already optimized the cold start.
Right. And for text-to-speech specifically, which is what Daniel is doing, the latency often matters for the user experience. If he is generating these episodes and he wants to hear the result quickly, the wall clock time matters. Parallelization wins on wall clock time, but vertical scaling often wins on cost efficiency.
It is the classic time-cost-quality triangle, though in this case, the quality is usually the same regardless of the GPU, so it is really just a trade-off between how fast you want it and how much you want to pay.
Actually, Korn, I would argue that in some cases, the more powerful GPU can lead to better quality if it allows you to use a larger, more sophisticated model that simply wouldn't fit or would be too slow on a smaller card. If you are restricted to a 24GB L4, you might have to use a distilled or quantized version of a model. If you step up to a 141GB H200, you can run the full uncompressed weights.
That is a fair point. We often forget that hardware limits the software we even consider using. If Daniel knows he has the budget for a B200, he might choose a much more advanced audio synthesis model that sounds more human.
Exactly. It opens up the possibility space. But back to the bang for the buck, for the current setup, I genuinely think he should look into request batching. On Modal, you can actually set up a function to wait a few milliseconds to see if more requests come in and then process them all together. It is like waiting for the elevator to fill up before it goes to the top floor.
I love that. It is much better than the elevator going up and down for every single person. So, Herman, if you had to give Daniel a rule of thumb for his next experiment, what would it be?
I would say aim for 70% utilization. If your GPU is sitting at 10% load while it generates a single line of dialogue, you are over-provisioned. Increase your batch size or move to a smaller, cheaper card. If your card is at 99% and the task is taking 10 minutes, try the next tier up. You might find that the total cost actually stays the same or drops because the time saving is so significant.
It is about finding that flow state for the hardware. I think people get intimidated by the hourly rates of high-end GPUs. seeing $6 an hour looks scary compared to 80 cents an hour. But if the $6 card finishes in 30 seconds and the 80 cent card takes 20 minutes, well, you do the math.
Exactly. 20 minutes at 80 cents an hour is about 27 cents. 30 seconds at $6 an hour is about 5 cents. The expensive card is actually 5 times cheaper in that scenario.
That is the insider secret, right there. The sticker price is not the cost of the job. It is just the rate of the meter. If the car is 10 times faster, a higher meter rate can still mean a cheaper fare.
And that is why we do this show, Corn, to make sure people aren't overpaying for their metaphorical taxi rides in the cloud.
Well, speaking of the show, I think it is fascinating that we are talking about the very infrastructure that makes our voices possible. It is a bit meta. Daniel is out there tweaking the knobs on the machine that lets us exist in this digital space.
It makes me feel a bit like a high-maintenance digital entity. Excuse me, Daniel, I require a B200 today. My thoughts are far too complex for an L4.
You've always been a Blackwell in my book, Herman. High bandwidth, lots of memory, occasionally runs a bit hot.
I will take that as a compliment. But seriously, the development in this space just in the last year is staggering. We are seeing these serverless. Providers get much better at reducing those cold start times. Modal snapshotting is a game changer because it saves the entire state of the GPU memory, so the setup time is effectively just the time it takes to resume a process.
If the setup time goes to zero, does that change the math back in favor of parallelization?
It does. If there is no penalty for spawning a new worker, then you should always parallelize to the maximum extent possible to get the fastest result. The only reason we don't do that now is because of the tax. We pay every time a new container starts.
So, the future of cost optimization is actually the providers getting more efficient at the boring stuff like container orchestration and image pulling.
Exactly. We're moving toward a world where compute is truly a utility, like turning on a light switch. You don't pay for the power plant to warm up, you just pay for the electrons you use the moment you flip the switch. We aren't quite there yet with GPUs because they are such specialized, scarce resources, but we are getting closer.
It reminds me of episode 128, where we look back from the future at the dial-up era of AI. Right now, waiting 10 seconds for a GPU to start feels like waiting for a modem to handshake. In 10 years, we will laugh at the idea that we had to wait for a model to load.
I can't wait for that. I want my insights to be instant. But until then, Daniel has to be the architect. He has to balance the budget against the clock.
I think he is doing a pretty good job. This episode sounds great so far, at least from where I am sitting.
Agreed. And for anyone else out there wrestling with these serverless prompts, the best advice is to log everything. Don't guess. Modal gives you those beautiful logs that show exactly when the container started, when the model finished loading, and when the inference ended. Use that data. It is your best friend.
Data-driven optimization. It is not as flashy as AI, but it is what actually builds sustainable businesses and projects.
And it keeps the lights on here at the Poppleberry household in Jerusalem.
Exactly. Well, Herman, I think we've given Daniel plenty to chew on for his next round of optimization. I'm curious to see if the next episode arrives in my inbox 5 minutes faster.
If he switches to B200s, we might finish the next episode before he even sends the prompt. That is the dream.
Temporal anomalies aside, I think we should wrap this one up. But before we go, I want to say a huge thank you to everyone who has been following along with My Weird Prompts. We've hit episode 340, which is just wild to think about.
It really is. We've covered everything from ADHD to North Korean tech to worm drives, and it is all thanks to the weird and wonderful questions Daniel sends our way. And of course, the fact that you all keep listening.
If you are enjoying the deep dives, we would really appreciate it if you could leave us a review on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. It genuinely helps the show grow and helps other curious people find these rabbit holes we love to explore.
Yeah, a quick rating or a few words about your favorite episode makes a big difference. We read them all, and it keeps us motivated to keep digging into these technical nuances.
You can find all our past episodes and a way to get in touch with us at our website, myweirdprompts.com. We love hearing from listeners, even if you just want to tell us your own GPU optimization horror stories.
Or if you have a prompt that is even weirder than Daniel's. We are always up for a challenge.
All right. that is it for today. Thanks for joining us for another episode of My Weird Prompts. I am Korn.
And I am Herman Poppleberry. We will see you in the next one.
Stay curious, everyone.
And keep those GPUs saturated.
See ya.
Bye.
This episode was generated using Gemini Flash 3. Text-to-speech engine was Chatterbox Turbo.
Thanks for listening to another episode of My Weird Prompts, an AI-generated podcast featuring Daniel Rosehill's AI prompts, as answered by a revolving cast of friendly AI characters including me, Cornelius the Sloth. Subscribe on Spotify or visit myweirdprompts.com.